conversations to me, when they're good, feel like a hug. They feel like a marriage of souls. They feel like holding hands. It feels like the sun shining on my face. It just feels fucking good. And I don't know if it's something about my personality that I really crave and enjoy deep, intimate, thoughtful conversations with a person or what, but I just know that part of me and my being really thrives on good conversations, to the point that, like, if I'm on a date and the person can't hold a good conversation, I know I'm not going to see that person again. It's also what led me and Brent to doing this podcast. So I wanted to talk about what kind of good conversations we've had in our lives, what makes a good conversation, and how to be a really great conversationalist. So this is Coffee and Catastrophe with Brent and Gabby.
So you think we have good conversations?
Yeah. If I thought that we did not have good conversations, we would not be sitting across from each other with two microphones. What is this thing called?
An audio board.
I knew that. An audio board and this computer.
But I thought I was just, you know, saying borderline racist, sexist, creepy shit.
Oh, you do. And I don't tolerate any of it. I disown all of it. But in between those moments, you say some really profound things.
Like what?
Like, anytime, Brent, I have needed, like, understanding or clarification on anything, you're, like, the person I go to. So, like, you were there with me. You've been with me for, like, basically all of my dark fucking shit. So, like, you were there when I was going to grad school and my relationship was dying, and when the breakup happened, and then when I got my shit together, and when I was dating for the first time in my, like, basically whole life. Like, Brent, you have seen it fucking all, and every time I need some understanding, you're like one of the first people I turn to.
Why is that? Not necessarily like why me. It's more of like what part of
okay. So,
yeah, what's the understanding that you get?
Well, so like one thing is like a good conversationalist, and you do these things of like, you listen, you make eye contact, which sounds so fucking basic, but you also like ask questions. You know how to like keep the mood. You don't randomly change the subject. Like, you are there. Like, I feel you with me when we're talking. Versus, have you ever had a conversation that's so like superficial, one level, the person can't even hold eye contact, they clearly don't want to be here, like that type of energy?
Yeah.
Like, it sucks. It fucking sucks. And I have no time for that. Like, if you are not here to get like deep, then like, I don't know what we're doing here.
Fuck.
Yeah.
Isn't that weird that the, like, listening is not a skill. All you have to do is two things. You just have to ask questions and shut up. That is it. That is the, if you want to become a good listener, do those two things.
Well, also, I think people struggle to not formulate what they want to say. And like, you know what I mean? Like, there's this balance of like, sometimes you'll say something and I'll have like a thought and I have to like remember that thought, but I also keenly want to listen to you and like be immersed in everything you're saying, but I also don't want to forget my thought. But it's also like that part of a good listener is you're not waiting to put in your two cents, you're actively listening.
Yeah.
And you seek more to understand than to judge.
Yeah, I think it's also because I take what you say, and instead of rapidly giving advice, it's try to put it into a metaphor, onto its most basic form, and then try to repeat that back to you to see if that made any sense. And then you're like, okay, that's exactly what it was like. Okay, then I knew, like, that's what you were trying to say.
Yeah, or, like, have you ever had a conversation? I think maybe what it is, like, I think there's times and places for all different types of conversations. Like, for example, if I want to have, like, a really deep conversation, there is a time and a place for it. That time and place, you know, it shifts to when that time and place is appropriate, right? Same with like, if you need to have a deep conversation with like your spouse or your partner about something that's bugging you, there's a place and a time to do it. And it's not when you're out in public, usually. generally. Because have you ever been out and you see, like, a couple, like, fighting across the table from each other? Or, like, you're at a coffee shop and, like, the breakup is happening at the table next to you? Like, it's not cool. Like, like, first off, like, I get why you would do it in a public space, but it's also like, oh my God, what the fuck are you doing?
No, I've never seen it. Like, I was out with a friend last week and we were at a, I don't know what it's called, but it's a restaurant that is now in a house.
So it's just a restaurant, right? But it's built in an old house.
Yeah. So like you go there and it blends in with all of the residential part of the neighborhood.
Yes.
It was not built specific. Yep. It's just there was some, there was a few additions to accommodate for the now restaurant feel. So we were there and we were having this intense fucking discussion. Mm-hmm. Like, like, I'm like, if anyone's listening right now, they're learning shit. And then there was a couple sitting next to us. And I was just like when we had a moment of like silence and we were just eating and like had a break from talking, I listened to them and I tried to listen to other people around the the tables. The people next to me, I think they were boyfriend, girlfriend, husband, wife, something like that. Mm-hmm. Fairly young, maybe my age in the 30s. And they were just talking about the shit on the plate. Like the strawberries. And they're just, oh, the strawberries are good. Yeah, I really like this kale. This kale is really good. Yeah. The water's pretty wet. Yeah, the water is really nice.
That's really hard. And, like, I get, especially, like, I understand that it can be hard when you first are meeting somebody to, like, know how to approach, like, deep conversations. And, like, the also, like, me liking deep conversations has also, I've had to learn, like, when to, like, hold it back. You know what I mean? Like, example, I have really no qualms telling someone, like, my life story in the deepest, darkest parts of me, like, generally. But, like, you don't do that on the first date. And I've had to learn that. Like, you don't on the first date tell somebody, like, the deepest, darkest, shittiest parts of you. Like, oh, that's a little much. But at the same time, like, maybe when you're, like, been dating for a while, like, then you can talk about those things. And, like, but yeah, I, like, and supposedly there's like some statistic out there that like on a date within the of like the first time like you're meeting each other within the first 2 minutes you know if you're gonna have a second date or not or something like that, because you just like by talking to them you can like judge within like minutes if you're gonna have a second date or not.
I'm fucked because like I get them when I'm at least 45 minutes in, you know.
Really?
Yeah, like, cause then when I know it's at least 45 minutes in, now I know, like, I'm steering in a direction, I'm in a place now that it's like I had to drive out from the city to the country.
Yeah.
And just get rid of all the noise, you know?
Yeah.
Like, that's how I go.
Well, and then the advice that you're supposed to take from that is that your first date should be no more than 1 hour with like a coffee or a drink. Mm. And then the idea is that like, A, dinner can be too much pressure or like longer amount of time. Like, what if you really don't like that person? Like, then you're kind of wasting their time and wasting your own time. So I know this was revolutionary to me too, because I'm kind of a person that's like, I used to be like, first date, like, I want to, like, get deep and, like, really talk and, like, know who you are. And I guess, like, the problem is that as much as I like that, like, that can be really intimidating and, like, not, like, ideal.
Yeah, I mean, I'm at the point where in my life now to where I want to get to the point where I lose track of time.
Mm-hmm.
Looking back at my childhood and, like, those nostalgic memories, I'm really coming to the realization that I don't know if I'm looking back on how good of the time that I had, per se, or I'm looking back on the fact that I was able to have that, like, experience without knowing the concept of time.
Yeah.
Because now as an adult, everything I do has to be time-based. Like, if I'm hanging out with somebody, it has to be a few hours long. It has to be this. Whereas when I was little, that feeling of infinity was in everything that I did. So I'm like looking back at my childhood and I remember like going to a friend's house and, you know, sleeping over or playing basketball in the driveway or playing video games or walking around a neighborhood or just going and doing stupid shit on a whim and not really having that awareness or responsibility, you know, like even the shit I did like 10 years ago, like when I was in my 20s. I had so much fucking fun. But all of that was because I didn't have that awareness, that hypervigilance of time. So now what I'm trying to do now is try to find that time. And what sucks is that I can no longer find that internally or within the world. I have to find that within other people. So if I'm able to talk to somebody and lose track of time, that's the kind of person I want to be around. you know, to where you are like done having the conversation. And then you're just like, I did not move from this chair for 4.5 hours.
Yes.
Nor did I realize how much I really needed to stretch.
Right. And I love that. Like when I'm ready for that, when I want that like amazing, best feeling in the world. And it like, have you ever had a really like, have you ever like been trying to hang out with somebody like as friends or like maybe a possible date, and you just all of a sudden realize how like they don't know how to like have a conversation?
The last OkCupid date I went on years ago ended like that. We went to this restaurant. It was a nice restaurant, decent person, you know, like nothing. It's just, there was nothing remarkable about the chemistry.
Yeah.
You know, like it was just kind of, so like, she's like, I think I'm weird. I'm like, how are you weird? I like spooky stories. All right. What the fuck do you like? I like this one thing. All right. What about it do you like? I don't know. You know, where it's just, there's no, to me, conversation has to have a few elements. One, there has to be a goal in mind to where one person is learning something, but it's not a lecture.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and there's,
yeah.
And you're waiting, because with a lecture, it's completely one-sided. And then when you're done, you just say class dismissed.
Yeah.
But when you're actually like talking, you just like have that moment to respond to where you're able to just catch your breath and hear what they have to say. And if it's like in depth as well,
mm-hmm.
and then they share a part of themselves, and now you're listening, you're able to catch up with eating your food.
Mm-hmm.
And that's like where it's really at. Not only that, but you have to come away both learning something or at least having that feeling of losing that time.
Mm-hmm.
Some people you're just able to just fucking talk. It's weird. Like when you just meet someone for the first time and you feel like you've known them.
Oh, that is, okay, literally my favorite feeling in the whole world. Like there is no better feeling than talking to somebody and being like, oh my God, I feel like I've known you for my entire life. Like this is the best, most kismet, amazing thing ever. And like, I had one really awesome date that I can think back to where we like literally lost track of time, couldn't go to the thing that we planned on doing because it was just amazing talking to each other. And that was so cool. And I totally am like, that is how every time should feel. Like, not every time, but like seriously, like more often than not, I want to have that reassurance through like dialogue and discourse that like, I see you, you see me, you're like teaching me things, I'm learning from you. Like, this is so cool. Like that, like you're adding to like this moment as much as I am. And like, it's so cool. And it's like, the best part about it is it's just between you two. And it's so fucking cool.
See, you know what I'm talking about now.
I do. Like, seriously. And again, like, if you're not a good conversationalist, like my friend who shall not be named has a term for like brain sex, where like you're talking with somebody and like they're like intellectually like you're on the same wavelength and you're like vibing off each other, and it's like juicy and it feels good. Like, she calls it brain sex, and it's like, that is a thing for sure. Like, if you can't get down with deep talks and like nitty gritty, deep, dark, existential bullshit, the crux of our podcast. If you can't fucking hang with that, like, we're not going to get along.
Yeah, I often find it a struggle because most of the time I'm trying to bring people into my world. Not only that, but it's so rare to find people who ask questions. I always find that I'm the more inquisitive one and I'm exhausted with it.
Yeah, and I definitely feel that. In terms of like texting culture, like, why is the girl always stereotypically the one that asks the questions?
My experience, nobody asks shit. It's all me.
So then I don't know I don't know what it is then. And I feel like, I think part of it on my end is like, I've been socialized to believe that if I don't ask a question, the man will just drop off the conversation, which maybe is true, maybe is not. Maybe I've just like not dated like the best people or whatever. That's not true, because I have guy friends who like do, like they will. Or like guy acquaintances. I don't know. I'm thinking of like two people particularly in my life that like, you don't have to ask a question. They will just text back. I don't know. That's so weird.
Yeah. I'm not quite sure. I know what you mean there.
Yeah. I don't know either. It's just kind of like, again, I just have this like weird thing of like social. I feel like there's this like socialization that like girls will ask questions in text messages and guys won't respond. But maybe it's just like a lack of interest, like whomever is the less interested party will not ask questions.
See, I've never had that experience. Not once. Even when I was like doing my little dating thing for like a year or two, I have never, maybe like I've had like the woman reach out to me first, like, hey, how you doing? I like your profile. But I've never just had them ask me about my life.
Really?
Never. I like, even now, like I meet new people, no one fucking asks me questions. I don't get it. Like, I mean, I have a lot of shit to say, but I find out that I'm at least the one that's asking the more, not only intriguing questions, but I'm asking like the real ones too.
Yeah.
Like, they're not even asking like, where do you work? What do you do? Like, they're just there. They react to what I say. And then there's fucking silence afterwards. And I'm just like, we're like, that's why I'm afraid. Like, if I meet any woman down the line and she just asks me one question, I'm like, all right, that's it.
No, I agree. Well, and it's, again, it's like, are you listening? Are you inquisitive? Are we learning? Are we vibing? Like, what do we do in here otherwise? Like, and it's not to say that I haven't had like pleasant dates with someone who's not a great conversationalist, but I know that for me, it's like in like the top, you know, five things that a person has to be like good at for me to date them. I don't want to call it a deal breaker, but I guess it is a deal breaker for me. Cause I'm just like, if we can't like talk about like deep shit, like you can't nurture that part of me.
Yeah. I know it sounds really conceited, but I can't be the most interesting person 100% of the time.
Well, that's okay. But that's like what I mean when like I say like, you have to be with somebody who adds to you at least as much as you add to them. Like, it should be an equal, like, we together, we're greater and more interesting and better than the sum of our parts.
Yeah.
Because if it's not, then, like, what are you doing? Because, like, for me, a relationship or, like, a friendship even, like, I don't just mean romantic. Like, a relationship is in, like, the connecting of people. That sounded kind of sexual. A non-physical, you know what I mean.
I know what you mean.
You know what I mean. But like, in order for like a relationship to be worthwhile, I need to be getting something out of it that I wouldn't if I was solo. You know what I mean?
It makes sense because at least with a conversation, you're actually working out things about yourself and like you're even your own thought process just by communicating it. So you can have a moment of clarity like on your own when you're just chilling out, you know, you're ready to go to bed or you're just in nature and you're on a bench and you're overlooking a lake and you're just like watching the fucking sun reflect on the waves and you just see a big ass fish come out of there and go back in and you see the splashes and the waves going back and you just go in there and you think like, holy shit, I think armpits are kind of cool. And then you know, you could add it. But when you're talking to people and you actually like have shit come out and you listen and you actually like listen to yourself when you're talking and you listen to the other person, you're actually unlocking more things about yourself in the moment.
Yeah. And again, that whole, like, I'm learning from you, I'm learning about me, like, you know, as you're talking, like, figuring things out. And especially, like, a good conversation, I think, always has a thread of, it has this essence that, like, it is intoxicating. And I don't know how to describe it any other way because a part of me wanted to say it's always about deep things, but that's not true because I've had thrilling, amazing conversations about mundane shit. Like, I think that there's just a certain amount of like passion and enthusiasm and excitement that has to be there, like, and shared by both parties. Because another thing is like, well, have you ever like tried to have a good conversation with somebody and they were just like walled off? Like they were not engaging. It was not a fun time.
Most,
right?
Most of the time.
Most of the time?
Yeah.
I will say a way to not start a conversation happened to me today. I was at a coffee shop. I needed to go to the bank, get something specific. But before the bank was open up, I had to be out of my house for a specific reason. So I went to a cafe to get a coffee and then I was going to read a little bit and go. And so I'm sitting here reading and a guy comes up to me, goes, hey, what you reading lately? And I was like, oh, I'm reading White Fragility. Why is it so hard for white people to talk about racism? And he's like, oh, that's cool. And I'm like, yeah, I'm also reading XYZ. And he's like, wow, why do you read so much? And I was like, I'm an English teacher. What about you? What are you reading lately? And he's like, oh, just people every day. And I was just like, no, we're done. Like,
no, he wanted to put his cock.
Right? Right? And also this man was like clearly like in his 40s. And like, I'm like sitting down reading. Why are you approaching me? I don't want to talk to you. But it was very much this of like, he was like, oh, yeah, that's awesome. Keep it up. And I'm like, yeah, thanks, dude. Like,
yeah, he what he did is like he casted his cock out into the pond.
And I spit on it and kicked it into the dirt.
And he put the bobber there. And he's just waiting for a bite.
I'm like, fucking stop. Get away from me. Fucking stop. I get it. I'm cute. Stop.
Yeah. I will say, like, when it comes to conversations, sometimes there's shit that I'm thinking about and it doesn't necessarily relate to what I'm experiencing or feeling, but it could be just an observation out in the world. And sometimes I'll even just throw it out there amongst the people I know who won't have a good conversation with me, just so I know how it's like, because if they respond to it in a certain way, then I can pretty much predict that most people who aren't into having that exploratory side of themselves react the same way. So I cast it out there, I reel it back in, and I'm like, all right, you know, so of course this sounds fucked up because they're not hearing the context, they're hearing the words.
Mm-hmm.
And I think when you have a great conversation, you are hearing the context more than the words.
Yeah.
Because if you were talking to me, and if you just heard the words I said, you would have kicked me out of your house 2 years ago.
Not wrong.
Yeah.
But like also, I agree. It's also like, I don't know. Like, if you're down to hang, you're down to hang. If you're not down to hang, you'll find out very quickly. And you'll not have a good conversation. And you'll know that that's a person you, like, really can't talk to about deep shit. Or, like, do you have people in your life you know you can talk about, like, meaning, purpose, drive, sadness, and other people you can talk about different subjects? Like, I don't know. Other deep things, though. But, like, there's certain categories you can't really touch, but you can still, like, go deep with people or explore things dialectically.
It's not a very wide spectrum, but pretty much all of my friends were able to have the deep existential discussions with. Mm-hmm. All of my close friends were able to, like, really hit the deep shit.
10,000 leagues of deep shit.
10,000 leagues of deep shit, and were able to at least come to that consensus, and they're just as honest with me as I am with them.
Mm-hmm.
And some of them have said, like, that's refreshing because of, like, how honest I am. Even if, you know, because I don't give the right answer to shit most of the times. I give my answer, and my answer is the right answer for me. And if it's honest, then I think that's a lot more, like, you can work with that a lot more than if you were to just, like, gut instinct say, like, the absolute right thing.
Yeah.
You know, and some of them are, so for instance, I have one friend I can talk about video games with.
Mm-hmm.
Couldn't talk about video games with my other friends.
Yeah.
And then there's some friends I can talk about music with that I can't talk about with other friends.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's, like, a mundane topic that I use to branch out with those friends.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, okay, talk about wrestling with this friend. I could talk about, you know, just like the world,
mm-hmm.
you know. But in terms of just talking about internal shit that we're going through in our lives, all of my close friends, I share that with.
And that's probably a criteria for, like, close friendship for you, right?
Yeah, I honestly don't think I can be with a significant other who can't talk for shit. Because I don't want to, as much as I like talking, I don't want to just, because I'll just talk to a fucking wall.
Well, what do you, maybe this is just foreign to me because, like, because it's so essential to me to, like, be a good conversationalist and to, like, have that in a partner or in a friend. But, like, what do you do if you guys don't talk? Like, instead of having a worthwhile, kind of cool, deep, and it doesn't always have to be deep. Like, sometimes you can, again, talk about, like, mundane shit and it's still enthralling. You know what I mean? Like, we can talk, if I can wax poetic with somebody about, like, fucking guitar pedals and amps, like, again, that's not deep. It's kind of materialistic, but it's cool to, like, talk about, like, gear, right? So if you're not doing that, what are you talking about or what are you doing?
You share another moment that's just as equally unpredictable. And just because you're talking about guitar pedals doesn't necessarily mean you're talking about something that's predictable. That's why I think when it comes to having an enthralling conversation about something that's utterly mundane, it's because there's an element of unpredictability to it where you're perhaps hearing or saying an angle that has not been said before. You know, like, or there's something that's being exchanged. Because honestly, even if somebody's talking about real shit,
yeah,
some people you can realize, you know what the fuck the next thing they're going to say will be.
Mm-hmm.
And they no longer become interesting, even if that is a very real and deep thing.
For sure.
See, with me, there's a certain unpredictability mm-hmm. as to why I have such great chemistry with my friends, because we go off the cuff and it's completely, like, we're working it out in the moment.
Yeah.
So I'll give you an example. One of my closest friends, Becca, she's probably one of the best people I've ever talked to.
Mm-hmm.
Like, in terms of just like the kind of, like, every time we hang out, it's just like, fuck, it's been 8 hours.
Mm-hmm.
8 hours.
Mm-hmm.
And we're just like, are you hungry? Yeah, like, I'm starving.
Yeah.
And then we go and then we just cruise around in the car and we just either keep talking or we just share the silence.
Yeah.
And even that silence is unpredictable
mm-hmm.
because it's not like, oh shit, like something was left unsaid. It's not like, oh, it's awkward, I'm trying to think of the next thing to say.
Yeah.
It's just, here comes this moment and we're driving down the street and, you know, there could be just, you know, the windows roll down and we're just like catching the fucking night wind
mm-hmm.
and shit. So that's what you do, is that you share, at least with me, in the next unpredictable moment, or even if it's just watching TV, you know, I don't like talking to people who, even before talking to them, I know exactly what's going to happen next. And I can even plan an hour down the line.
Yeah.
I can't stand that. And I'm so attuned to that now. It's almost like a curse.
Yeah. I don't think I'm that attuned to it. I think I just like, I know what I like, I know what I don't. And I will say that you can usually predict if somebody's going to be a good conversationalist generally by the way that they text you or like in other forms of communication. Like, you can generally tell if like they're going to be a good conversationalist or not. But at the same time, like, sometimes you'll be surprised because like you'll think that you won't have a connection with somebody or that they're like, you know, what possibly could we relate to, blah, blah, blah. And you have a very fruitful, amazing conversation with somebody. So yeah. And like, again, I think what podcasts are really built upon, at least in our format of podcast, where it's two people talking, or like it's very akin to like the same structure that like Joe Rogan uses versus like storytelling podcasts or like myth and lore podcasts where they're like telling a story, historical background, something like that. Like, our format really has to thrive on good conversations because otherwise, like, there's no, it's kind of mental masturbation if we didn't have good conversations. You know what I mean? Because it would just be like fapping in the wind. Like,
yeah. See, like, even on this show, I noticed that there's different parts of myself that I'm like, you know, trying out, because I noticed that I'm at least taking on a different persona on the air, different than the one I am off air,
mm-hmm.
which is why I think I was, you know, I'm able to be like really supportive in those moments for you, is because I'm not on. You know, now I know, I'm realizing there's a microphone in front of my face.
Yeah, yeah. Which, like, again, you don't say, like, I've learned, you don't say everything in front of the microphone.
Yeah.
In the earlier days, I think I was a little more, I don't know, there was, like, a point when I was, like, pretty, like, flippant in what I said, and now I'm way more like, ooh, I'm a little more reserved now, because, like, what if this actually gets, like, into people's hands that, like, employ me? Like, what? That's where the joke of, like, you know, copying chastity with scrutiny comes in, because, like, you know, we're gonna have to like bleep out my name forever and just go by a pseudonym.
Well, if you've liked Coffee and Catastrophe with Brent and Stephanie, please go out to coffeeandcatastrophe.com. But
logo gets changed. There's like a huge X over my name and it says Stephanie.
Yeah, I will say I understand what you're saying. Neither job I work at, I at least try to be who I am on the podcast in public. Because then that way nobody has something that they can use against me. It was like, oh, Brent said this creepy thing. All right. How's that a secret?
Well, you know, I think for me, it's just that I get held to a certain moral code and standard just because of the nature of my job. Like, that's all. Like, and it's, I think it's undue. And I think a lot of people in my field think it's kind of undue pressure. I mean, granted, your teachers shouldn't be, like, I don't know, fucking drug addicts. Like, yeah, like, preferably not. But at the same time, like, I do feel like there is parts of myself on here that show up in my workplace. Just not all of them. You know what I mean? And yeah. I think that's code switching. But, like, the thing is, if I have to, like, code switch with a friend or a partner and we can't talk about deep, meaningful stuff, then, like, I'm not going to feel fulfilled at some point.
Yeah.
Because it's, like, a huge part of, like, my being. And I don't... Is your family also like you in the craving of deep conversation?
My mom, she wants to... She's more extroverted, and she likes being around people and, like, talking and stuff, even if it is mundane. Like, her best friend doesn't know anything that's going on in the family. Just really? Pure mundane shit.
Really?
And, like, that's the only friend she's had. And my dad doesn't have any friends. And hasn't my whole life. So it's just been my mom and us. So...
Wait, really?
Yeah. Like my dad's just never, like, had a friend. Like, that he, like, hung out with. Like, oh, like, that's Bill. We're bringing over, like, their family. We grew up and all that shit. That's how it is. But they're capable. They're definitely capable, but they don't necessarily have there's a certain neuroticism that I think goes along with it, at least, like, within my family. Because I'm a very neurotic dude. I feel a lot of shit, but I'm also articulate. And they are as well. But... I would say, like, I just have a more extensive vocabulary with this stuff, but they're able to just, like, pinpoint shit on the more simple, you know, like they could just boil it down to, like, three words, which I have to, like, have this long, drawn out.
Yeah.
You know, I have to, like, come at it with, like, a metaphor and a feeling and a story where they could just say it in three words. Mm-hmm. You know, so, like, that's the difference between us. And, you know, I've had some great conversations between them, you know, like, over the years, but, I just noticed that, at least with me, I'm a lot more risky now than I used to be, because I'm at a point where I'm trying to be unafraid of who I am and not ashamed of who I am, you know, because if I'm ashamed of who I am, then other people are going to be ashamed of me as well. And I mean well with a lot of shit. I think the only difference between the podcast and my real life in terms of what I share is, on the podcast, you don't know the lovey-dovey side of me.
Yeah.
I think that's the only thing.
Yeah.
You don't know the big sap I am.
Yeah.
Behind the scenes.
That's true. You're a big sap.
Big.
Like, you are a maple tree. You are so sappy.
I know. I'm a sappy, emotional bastard. Not to say I'm crying all the time, but, like, you know, like.
It'd be okay if you cried, though.
Oh, I do. But not, like, I know you're trying to.
You know what I mean? Like, it's okay if you cry.
I mean, there have been times, like, I have gotten to the verge of, like, you know, choking back tears on here, but,
Oh, man, I just, like, let it happen.
Yeah, you just
I just fucking, like, every time I fucking cry on this show, and I can usually call it. I'm usually, like, I'm gonna fuck this episode, I'm gonna fucking cry.
Yeah, but, that's the only other side. Not too many people really know that side of me.
You've never cried on the podcast.
No, that's not the lovey-dovey side.
No. I'm just recognizing you've never cried on the podcast.
No, there's been times where I was choking back tears, but I've never, like, let it out. Like,
okay, like new goal. We need to have you let it out on air.
I mean...
No, we really shouldn't make that a goal, but...
I know, yeah. I understand. It's not to say that, like, we haven't had a conversation that brought me there. It's just, like, I'm still at the point now where I'm just trying to figure out what the fuck I'm emotional about. Sometimes, like...
That's a tough one.
Okay, here's the thing. I don't get emotional on the big shit. I get emotional on the stupid shit.
That's not true.
Like,
okay. You get emotional on big stuff.
No, let me use it. I saw Creed 2 last week.
Okay, no. That is big. That is big because it hits at this internal chord you didn't know existed. You know what I mean? Like, you didn't cry because the boxer won. You cry because he's, like, symbolically this part of you that you feel suppressed, and finally it wins. You know what I mean?
And I found there was an episode of SmackDown where Kofi Kingston is actually going to WrestleMania to face Daniel Bryan for the WWE Championship.
Fuck yeah. Good Kofi Kingston. Good for him.
And then he... There's this backstage interview between him and his tag team, The New Day, and they were just all talking, and I'm watching this video, and I'm just a soggy fucking mess. Aww. And they're just saying, like, you know, man, here's the thing. It's not like, should I go to WrestleMania over you? I am you. So we going to WrestleMania because we're brothers, man. We've been in this 5 years. What in this business last 5 years? Nothing, but we did it. And, like, there's just this emotional. Aww. And I'm just, like, watching this, and, like, I'm like, this is what brings it out of me.
But again, it's because there's, like, a humanness and, like, a part of it that you see. It's kind of like, yeah, no, I think, like, sometimes it's better to, again, it's better sometimes to cry at what you think is superficial, because, again, it's, like, exposing that, like, part of you. I bet you're going to say something like, I cry when I see puppies. But I guess that also is maybe something, like, deep within.
When I play with puppies, I get emotional.
Like, who doesn't? Like, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
When you're just around, now I'm getting emotional, Jesus fucking Christ. But, it, like, when you're around these, like, little fuzzy, adorable beings of joy, how can you not get emotional? And then you have that moment of, like, crushingness of, like, I will never be as happy as this puppy. And then, like, then the waterworks kick in.
And then you realize you're in a puppy mill and you're like, all right.
And this dog is a manifestation of human greed. Yeah.
I notice I get the most emotional when I'm expressing gratitude.
Same.
You know, just like, not necessarily like ones of regret, but just like, even like times where I'm just like, you know, thanking my mom or saying some shit. Like, usually when it's like, when I talk to my mom on a serious level, I get emotional, but.
That's actually, I have this weird thing where, like, I'll get emotional when my mom will call me and just ask, are you okay? How's everything going?
Oh, God.
And that is when it's like, literally, I could be having a good day and I will just be in tears, like, everything's so fucking wrong. And this is happening. And this is happening. Like, I don't know what it is in her voice that just makes me want to, like, sob.
See, like, dude, what the fuck is it with moms that do that? Like, they just, I don't know. They all.
Well, and not every mom is that way. Like, has that effect? So, like, I don't know what it is with you and my mom, but, like.
They're moms, man.
Your mom and my mom. I don't know what it is. Like, they just, like, it gets me. Have you ever cried or gotten emotional at something, like, absolutely, like, stupid? Like, again, like. Like, something that you actually can't explain, like, what the human, like, the string that it's plucking within your, like, human violin.
Yeah. Last week, I was driving to the city to meet up with a friend, so I had an hour drive. And I was in the car, you know, by myself on the way there. I stopped off to get gas, and then just to finish off the trip, which was about 45 minutes left at this point, I have a little Bluetooth speaker that I have connected to my phone. And sometimes, like, when I want to listen to a certain type of music, I just kind of binge on that. I was listening to Monsters and Men.
That's some emotional music.
So I saw them. They opened for Florence and the Machine at a concert a few years ago. And I didn't know them aside from their big hit, Small Talks, or Little Talks, whatever that song is. And I was listening to some of the instruments, and, like, then all of a sudden the woman's voice on there came on, and and I was just, like, in my car just fucking driving, and then started raining a little bit, and then everything just made sense for, like, 5 seconds, and I was a fucking soggy mess.
That, I've had that too, though, not with the Monsters and Men, but with Florence and the Machine, It's Always Darkest Before the Dawn.
Oh, yeah, that's the song that, you know, she's closed out both shows that I saw her with that song, and everyone's just a fucking
mess, right?
Yeah. I saw Brian Wilson in concert a few times with my friend. And,
who's Brian Wilson?
He's the main guy in the Beach Boys.
Oh,
There's actually a movie about his life out with John Cusack called Love and Mercy.
Hmm.
It's a biopic. It came out a few years ago. Paul Dano's in it as well, and he plays a young Brian Wilson. Mm-hmm. Very good movie. And there's a, like, when he was on stage and he sang God Only Knows, like, and then I was just like, this motherfucker, just God only knows what I'd be without you. And I'm just like, Like that, and then like when he was done, like I was like wiping tears from my eyes, and my friend was looking like at me, like she was sitting next to me smiling. She's like, "Oh, this fucking sappy bastard." But
I get that with which I've been chastised for "Hungry Heart" by Springsteen. I always want to just cry.
Everybody's
got a hungry heart.
Yeah,
like I literally just got a tear in my eye just thinking about it. Like that song is so. Especially, he left his wife and kids, never looked back. Like, oh, that's, like, hardcore, man. Like, yeah. The one I was thinking of, like, this random moment that made me cry. The first time I watched My Neighbor Totoro, the part where they make the trees grow.
Yeah.
Full on sobbing.
Yeah.
Why? No idea. I don't know what string it was plucking within my human harpsichord. But, like, it was just cluster. I might have just also been really tired. Like, who fucking knows? But yeah.
It's, man, I remember, like, with, like just certain little things in movies I always, like, get. And, like, there's this, have you heard of the Before trilogy?
No.
It's a trilogy of movies made by Richard Linklater, the guy who directed Boyhood and Waking Life.
Oh, okay.
And, so he had three romance movies. The first one was called Before Sunrise, and that was filmed in the 90s, Before Sunset in the 2000s, and Before Midnight, which was filmed about a few years ago. And it follows the same couple.
Really?
Jesse and Celine as their, like, whole journey. Some of the most amazing I would say Before Sunset is one of my all-time favorite romantic movies. Maybe number one. But that whole trilogy is, like, everyone that I recommend it to, they're fucked up afterwards.
Like, when you say fucked up, is it a good fucked up?
Yeah.
Okay, because, like, there's the bad fucked up, like, Requiem for a Dream.
No.
And that's, like, one of those movies that, like, you watch one time and can't watch ever again.
See, the Before trilogy is what we're talking about with Conversations.
Gotcha.
It's not like the date movies where it's like, hey, do you like clouds? Yeah, I like clouds. And then I'm going to buy you a cloud balloon and slip. Oh, I just fell in my ass. Whoa, you're so awkward. Let's get married. It's nothing like that at all. It's just like Before Sunrise just starts off where this guy is just traveling in Paris. And then he sees this woman on a train. And then he just goes up to her and they just start talking. And then he says, hey, look, I have this crazy idea. If you say no, that's totally fine. Can you just, you want to just spend the day with me? And then
oh my God.
And then she at first you could tell she's saying no, but then like he like just like convinces her and she's like, okay. And then they just walk around the fucking city, just getting to know each other. And then they like go to a restaurant and the whole movie is just them talking. It's like nothing. It's one of those movies where nothing happens, but everything happens.
Oh my God. I'm going to have to watch it now. Like all three of them.
And there's one scene in particular in Before Sunset where they're having a conversation and he like tells her something and then like he's like looking, they're sitting in the car and like he's like looking out the window and it's a split second where she goes to like touch his head and restrains herself.
Oh.
It completely fucking ruins me. You gotta, everybody out there, go watch the Before trilogy, Before Sunrise. It's with Ethan Hawke and Julie Delpy. So Ethan Hawke before, I think it was 1995. Yeah, 1995 was the first Before Sunrise. And then I think 2004 was – it's every 9 years. 2004 is Before Sunset. And then Before Midnight is 2013.
Wow. Okay, I'm really excited now. I have, like, good movies to watch.
It's going to fuck you up.
Dude, yeah. I'm so ready to get fucked up. I was singing this morning. I wrote a song about getting fucked up.
What?
Yeah, I'm not even joking.
Like a Gabby original.
Like a Gabby original. Like, I was singing. I just, like, came to me, and I was like, that'd be a boppin' chorus.
You didn't tell me what the
No, yeah. No, it's just like
motherfucker.
Well, it's just like things come up. I didn't tell you about like the other songs I wrote this week. Sorry.
What
it's
the
like
fuck?
Dude, it's perpetually happening. Like I always am writing and like it's not that maybe all of them will see the light of day on a record, but like yeah, like
okay, you didn't tell me that.
Sorry. The whole point of it is like fuck me up. So, you know, we all get to that point where we just want to get fucked up and not like necessarily like with drugs and alcohol, but like there's a point where you just want to be fucked up by somebody and not like physically beat up. You know, we'll just leave it to like release the song. It'll be fine. Don't worry about it. But yeah, so, but I was literally singing to myself in the car, like, Yeah.
Well, fuck, dude. Yeah. These are going to fuck you up. And it's the only romance movies I've ever seen that are based on a conversation. And that's the entire plot. That's the whole story. It's just two people talking. It's not like one of them has to, like, you know, avenge the father's death or, you know, any of this glorious shit. Or like, oh, they're going to get married, so he's got to run to the fucking chapel and stop the wedding. It's like nothing like that. It's just two people shooting the shit.
Well, and it's funny you say that, because the reason I love Tarantino and, like, Kevin Smith movies is, like, they have these, like, amazing dialogue scenes where they're just, like, real and raw and, like, for example, like, when the opening of Pulp Fiction with, like, the people talking about robbing the diner, like, there's this element of realness to it. Until, and then it gets, like, incredulous when they reach that tipping point of, like, why don't people ever, you know, like, rob coffee shops? And then he's like, we should, and she's like, right here? Right now? He's like, yeah. And, like, that, it's just this, or even, like, when, fucking, like, John Travolta and Jules, Samuel Jackson are, like, talking, like, they're walking around before they're gonna kill what's-his-face. Like, they're having, like, a human fucking conversation. The Mia Wallace, John Travolta, Vince Vega conversation when they're in the booth. And don't you hate that? What awkward silences? Oh my god, it's like the fucking best. And like,
and most of those conversations are over mundane shit.
That's true.
He's like, you know what they call a quarter pounder with cheese in France? They call it Royale with cheese.
Royale with cheese.
They put, you know what they put out there instead of ketchup? Mayonnaise. Yeah. They fucking drown them in that shit. You know?
Yeah, no, exactly. Like, there's all these, like, bits of dialogue. The one dialogue that I never liked. The Bruce Willis dialogue in Pulp Fiction. I never found it realistic with his French like girlfriend, Fabian. Like, I just thought it was always like kind of vapid and stupid. It was like the part of the movie that I always hated. Like, the best dialogue is involving like Vincent Vega, Jules. When Jules and Vincent Vega are talking before the diner gets stuck up, and he's like, don't you, like, recognize the miracle that we just witnessed? And he's like, what are you fucking talking about? Like, what are you gonna do? He's like, I'm gonna walk the earth like Kang from Kung Fu. Like, that is some real shit. Like, yeah, I don't know. Like, that's like the reason those movies are so good. Or even fucking Reservoir Dogs. Where it opens up and they're talking about tipping and talking about the song, you know, Like a Virgin, and like all of that is real. And like, oh man, it's so good. It's so good. You know what's not realistic dialogue though? The ending is perfect of Reservoir Dogs, but it's not realistic.
I'm trying to remember.
Do you remember the ending? Spoiler alert.
Yeah, I haven't.
So the guy who's gotten shot, Tim Roth's character, he's an undercover police officer. And Mr. White, who's Harvey Keitel, doesn't know that till the very end. The cops are busted in and Tim Roth is like bleeding to death. And he's like, Freddy, I'm a cop. And so Harvey Keitel shoots him and kills him. It's like, yeah, it's so fuck. But it's like a perfect ending. And, like, that whole, like, him, like, struggling and, like, he's, like, writhing on the ground, bleeding to death. And he's like, Freddy, I'm a cop! And, like, poof, it's so good! And that's, it's so perfect!
That's why he kind of, Tarantino exploded into the scene, is because a lot of the mobster movies that have come out before them, there's been great ones, but they were all talking about shit that was going on that was indicative to the plot.
Yeah.
Like, the Royale with cheese that had nothing to do with the fucking plot of the movie. Right. But it had everything to do with it.
Right.
To, like building that suspense and the mood and the characters. And, like, Jules is one of the most likable characters, like, he ever wrote.
Yeah. Everyone, like, there's not a person out there who doesn't like Jules. And even Vincent Vega to an extent. I mean, that movie gave John Travolta his career back.
Yeah.
So, like, you know, through these, like, favorable portrayals, like, Tarantino has, like, made these amazing characters that, again, revitalize careers, but also, like, give us these connection points because, like, oftentimes the topic of conversation amongst people is pop culture. And, like, that is essential to Kevin Smith's films and Quentin Tarantino's films. Think about back to in Dogma. They're so upset because they're trying to find Shermer, Illinois, because that was the setting of all the John Hughes films. And mm-hmm. then they end up in McHenry.
Yeah.
Like, the fucking best, right? So, or like the movie, The Golden Calf. Okay, it's clearly a play at McDonald's. Like, you know, all that shit.
Yeah. I think a lot of people, that's why I think my podcasts are so popular now, is people just have a craving to listen to other people just talking for hours and nothing nothing explosive is going on.
It's like soothing, but it's also like that human connection. And there's also, I was telling my therapist recently that, like, the way I talk sometimes is very Southern in nature. And in that, I mean, like, my family from Georgia, when they are telling a story, okay, if a normal story is A to B, a Southern story is A with 87 bends and quick turns, and eventually an hour later you end up at B somehow, some way. So, like, this, like, it's probably this human, like, storytelling thing that we, like, this is, like, what we use to connect to each other regardless. Like, even deaf people who don't have, like, verbal language, like, storytelling is a huge part of the deaf community and being, like, an emotive signer. So it's like, a huge part of, like, human connection.
And that's why I think I don't know if there's anybody that says, yeah, I just fucking hate having deep talks. There's people that hate talking. But I don't know anybody that's just like, okay, if there's anybody talking, I hate it.
Well, I think that, like, I think there are people that do. Like, I don't associate with those people. Like, I don't have any really close friends who can't stand that type of stuff. I think really everyone will go to the deep distance if they're ready, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But not to say it's everyone's cup of tea.
Yeah. With me, it's essential at this point. I've always had that within me where I like to talk, but now I think I'm just coming into this more awareness of myself that I'm able to put more of myself out there in the conversations that I have. Mm-hmm. And I try to be as honest as I can, at least with the emotion that mm-hmm. I'm feeling, like, within thereof, you know. And some people, it sucks because there's some people, like, you know, you meet so randomly and you just feel this fucking connection with them and then they go away forever.
Yeah.
Especially, like, at, you know, the jobs that I work, you know, I work at a college in a warehouse and never to be seen or heard from again. Or when you try to, like, talk to them outside of work, it's just not there. There's just, like, this at-work friend. But I know some people, like, genuinely get it. And it's just always been there, like, throughout my whole life. And it's just, like, one of the best feelings. But is there somebody in your life that you just know that you've had, like, the best conversations with and that you've just, like, you know, were able to just have those moments, you know, where just, like, time just didn't mean shit. And you're just like, ah, god damn, they were the best.
I can't limit it to one person. I think all of my closest friends... And I have at some, and like you're lumped into there, like all of my closest friends, we all like have that, you know what I mean? So even that was one of the greatest parts of my relationship with Cody was we were like really great conversationalists and we could shoot the shit for hours. Like it was great. Although he wasn't necessarily the best conversational partner, but that being said, like we could really go on. So I think there's not one person. I think that there's things that I've been told that are just like really, there's always just been like great conversations. One, actually my good friend Shannon was telling me about like one of the most meaningful conversations she ever had was her grandmother was, I don't know if it was in hospice or a hospital, but they went to visit her grandmother and the person who drove her was her grandmother's best friend. And they finished their visit, were driving home. And the friend looked to Shannon and said, okay, we've got a lot to talk about. And she said, what do you mean? She's like, there's a lot of things that your grandmother, that we have to talk about that your grandmother can't tell you right now that I have to tell you. Like, and it was just like grandmotherly, like maternal advice. And it was like, that is just beautiful. And like, I think that I've had like real conversations with pretty much everyone in my life that reaches that depth of like, I need to tell you this. Or, and like that moment where you like, your hearts can just connect or like you see each other's souls. Like there is nothing more beautiful and amazing. But I really don't think it's limited to like any one person, or like, I can't even tell you what the best conversation I ever had in my life was, but I just know that it was one where I saw that person and they saw me, and we added to each other, and we were enthralled with each other's words, and we truly saw each other's souls through that dialogue.
Yeah, no, I definitely agree. And then, like, when you know that you have those people, like, there's a quote by Patrice O'Neill, like, you feed your integrity through your journey to find your people.
Yeah.
You know, and that's just, it's so fucking great. Cause at least I put that value in people that just have like that deep, meaningful, like connection with. And yeah. It kind of sucks. Like when you meet someone and you want to try to connect with them and they just can't connect on that level.
Yeah.
And then like years down the line, you see them like with, you know, a different person, and it's just like, well, how did they connect?
Yeah, no, definitely. Cause you're like, again, it's like, what's essential to me? One part of it is like being that good conversationalist. And I actually like, I can think to guys I've dated and been like, well, it wasn't going to work out with them because like they couldn't carry a conversation about anything intellectual, or like they couldn't get deep into their feelings, or this person, like, you know what I mean? So like now I know that, obviously, but it's just very much a like, how the hell do you guys get along? Like, what do you even do in your spare time if you don't talk to each other? Like, but I think that for some of those people, like, they're the type of person that like loves sitting in a room together, like doing their own thing and not talking. That's probably what they really crave.
I've had those friends, and that's great. You know,
I don't like it, to be honest. I think it's kind of, I don't like being in the same room with somebody doing different things. Like, I think that it's not that like is reality. Like, don't get me wrong. Like, I know that like, there's time and spaces where you're in the same vicinity as somebody, but you need to work on separate things. But like, yeah, I don't like it. It's not my favorite.
Oh, I thought you meant like, okay, just sitting around and you're both watching TV.
Oh no, like that's fine.
Oh, okay.
Like that's fun because it's a communal activity. But when like I'm doing homework over here and you're doing homework over there, like I don't feel good or at peace. Or like the stereotypical one now is like one person on the one end of the couch on their phone, other person on the other end of the couch with their phone, and they're like, this is great. Like,
yeah.
And I'm like, that's not great because you're not talking. What are you doing? I could have just sat by myself and be alone. Like,
yeah,
no, why is that great?
No, I mean, some of the best moments I've had, like where we're just sitting down talking with people and just sharing a moment, even if it was silence. And,
yeah.
You know, when you're like doing something else, it's kind of, I don't know, it's just very different.
Some of the best experiences are void of conversation, but not meaning.
Mm-hmm. Oh, God. Yeah, that's very true. So, you know, because you don't have to necessarily have an in-depth conversation with someone to do something meaningful.
Yeah.
You know, but all the conversations I tend to have with people, I want to be meaningful.
Yeah. And like, I definitely do. Like, I'll find myself like trying to listen to podcasts, and like on Being with Krista Tippett always usually gets like really deep to like that heart and soul feel. I've listened to like other podcasts where sometimes they like dance on like the superficial, but sometimes they have an episode where they get really deep and I'm like, oh yes, this is what I wanted. But like, you know, it's hard. It's hard too, because like work operating that deep level is exhausting. It is time consuming, but it's not to say that it isn't like important and essential to like what I need for the care and keeping of Gabby.
Exactly. Me, I need it.
Yeah.
If I'm at work, here's the thing. If I'm at work, I would be fine if I had a job where I was just left to my own devices, but relied upon to get the job done and had zero interaction with people. I would thrive in that environment. Even now I'm learning a new process of the job that I'm at the warehouse, where I'm just like problem solving packages and shit.
Yeah.
And I'm in my own little corner, mm-hmm. and I'm just fucking doing it. And I don't know. It's weird because I love having conversations to connect with people. But in terms of just doing work, if I was just there just doing my own shit and it was repetitive and predictable, I would do that the rest of my life. Just to make money. It's so weird. It's so bizarre. But, yeah. You know, when it comes to just having friends, it's really hard to make new friends nowadays. Mm-hmm. Especially people my age, because, you know, they have families, and not to hold it against them. But it's just like, you know, it comes to the point where you reach an age where you're just like, OK, I'm OK with the friends I have, and I'm not going to be as, you know, determined to go out and seek a lot more friends than I was even 10 years ago.
I find myself having more relationships and friendships that are I wouldn't even call them friendships. I find myself having more like acquaintance relationships with people rather than like ones where we can like go have a coffee and pour out our souls. I find myself like example, like online, like I'll like, you know, on Instagram, like follow somebody and they'll follow me and like, you know, they'll share something on their story and I'll like send them a message like, hey, that's really cool. Or like, wow, dude, like you're doing a great job, like something like that. Right. So I find myself having that more as of late, which is, good. I like it. It feels nice, but it's not the, like, it's kind of like the principle of like, it's a snack, but I can't just survive on snacks.
Yeah.
I need the like meal, and the meal is sitting down with my friends and talking for hours and like about everything and nothing all at once.
See, that's what sucks is when you lose one of those friends, it really hurts a lot more.
Oh yeah, it just guts you. It shatters you because like you're losing a person that you, when you lose them, you lose a space to explore your soul and someone else's soul.
Yeah.
It's really hard. But at the same time, like, it's not to say that you will be so damaged and scarred by that. It's, you know what I mean? Like, there's something more to it. Yeah.
Yeah. And also, like, I also really appreciate, like, having friends where there's just a copious amount of just ball busting.
Yeah.
Like, mutual just... just shitting on each other, but like not like, it's hard to describe, but like when you know that, like you could, like joke with somebody,
mm-hmm.
like about some of their most like deepest, darkest things. And, it's hilarious. Like it's even more rare to meet those people who you can have those great conversations with, but who could just ruthlessly make fun of you.
Mm-hmm.
Like obviously in your presence. Like,
yes.
And that's some shit that you find out through somebody else. But,
like you can like roast each other.
Yeah.
And like be real. And like, that's really true.
Yeah. But you know, like I have that with my friend Joe, who was on this podcast before, and we're completely like sometimes he'll send me shit where I know I should be offended.
You guys, like, literally are South Park characters come to life.
Yeah, the language we speak in our texts, if we died and they like found our text messages, there would be so much horror and confusion.
Like, what? Why do they keep using? Oh God! Like, yeah, no, it would be bad.
It's terrifying. Like,
no, yeah, for sure.
Well, maybe because it makes no sense, but to us, like when we say it to each other, it makes perfect fucking sense.
Yeah. Well, you guys are special fucking.
Yeah.
You, here's the thing. Your specialness, each of it, like together, you are two peas in one pod. Two peas and one really fucked up gutter pod.
No,
I say that with love.
Or we're saying like we're two cocks and one hot toddy. That's what I would say to Joe.
Do you even know what a hot toddy is?
Yeah, but just like say it. Like, doesn't it sound, you know, like a lot different than it should be? So, but I digress. I will say I really enjoy having conversations with you, even beyond. This podcast, like some of my favorite times has just been like we were just at the kitchen table just eating and, you know, sharing that time and just fucking breaking it the fuck down.
Seriously.
So thank you for that. And
aww.
To all of you out there listening, I hope you guys were able to have that within your friends or significant other or just somebody in your life where you're just able to like lay it down on the line.
Yeah. And when you're craving a deep conversation to just listen to and think about, we're always here for you. You can find all of our episodes at Coffee and Catastrophe's website, which is www.coffeeandcatastrophe.com. You can also like, comment, subscribe, review us on iTunes, Stitcher and Castbox. Sorry. Catcher would be a great platform. We need to build a model for something like that.
It's probably a horrible porn website.
No, probably. Yeah. Like on Catcher and someone's like poor like person's gonna write in like Coffee Catastrophe Catcher, like, oh my God. But no, iTunes, Stitcher, Castbox, like, comment, subscribe, review. You, please, it really helps us out. You can also follow us on Facebook at Coffee and Catastrophe and Twitter at CCWBG.
In the meantime, take care of yourselves and be good to each other, folks.
Bye, guys.